Hey, I'm Paul.
And I'm Christian.
Welcome to I'm Dying to Tell You, inspiration shared by our mom who is dying from ALS.
There is no cure for our mom or anyone else with ALS, but right now, she's on a mission to find and share stories of inspiration.
Coming to you from Cincinnati, Ohio, we're happy to introduce the one lady we've both loved since the first day we laid eyes on her, the queen of the Queen City, our mom, your host, Lori.
Hello, I'm Lori, your host of I'm Dying to Tell You. Thank you for being here. I'm so happy that you're chiming in, and I am super excited to share my guest with you today. She is someone that I met on social media, and I've been following her. I love her spunk and her positive outlook. And let me tell you, she has been through her fair share of adversity. And I just love her strength and her willingness to tell her story. So I am chatting with 30-year-old Courtney Sierra Beese. She goes by Wheel Life of Courtney on social media because she is living life and creating awareness that your circumstance doesn't have to define you, as she lives out her young life paralyzed and in a wheelchair. You're going to hear that Courtney's father is the reason she has been living with a spinal cord injury since she was 9 months old. You're going to hear that she doesn't want you to feel sorry for her at all. She is an adventurous young lady full of joy and full of life. And I love what she is teaching me and so many others who follow her journey. I'm so excited to catch up with this young lady and to be able to share her heart and her spirit with you. Let's go to my chat with Courtney. Okay. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Where are you at in California?
I'm in Bakersfield, which is about like two and a half hours away from Los Angeles. So
I know where that is. I know where that is. I have family there.
No way.
Yeah.
Small world.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy. So I'm originally from Michigan. Actually, on August 14th of this year, it'll be 2 years since I moved out here. So
what took you from Michigan to California?
I actually had a boyfriend who, actually, he's a wheelchair user too. And we dated for a while. And then I started visiting him here because he lived in Bakersfield. I spent a total of 6 months off and on coming out to visit to see him. And I absolutely fell in love with it here. I was like, oh my gosh, like just the weather and the environment is so ideal for a wheelchair user. Like in comparison to Michigan has, I joke and I say, I pretty much am from Alaska because how bad those winters were. But my boyfriend at the time had me come out. Well, he didn't have me come out, but I had to come out. Plus how great it was living here and visiting for those time periods. But actually he ended up passing away unexpectedly last year.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
That's crazy. Life is so unexpected and crazy and things happen.
It is. Yeah. And you're so young. Are you 30?
Yes. I don't feel young.
Well, you have been through so much in just 30 years. So much adversity that obviously has molded you into a very incredible person. But I know we talk about life. I got home like 15 minutes ago from the funeral of a friend of mine. His name is Justin. He passed away Thursday from ALS at 39.
I'm so sorry.
It was like his daughter actually interviewed on this podcast. I interviewed her when she was 10, and she'll be 12 on, I think, Wednesday. And she got up and spoke about her dad, and she's so mature for her age. And I don't know, I just always feel like a tragedy, like having a parent die at a young age, or what you're going through or have gone through, it teaches you things that you wouldn't be able to realize
otherwise.
Otherwise.
Absolutely.
You know, my heart was breaking for her. She has already realized so many precious gifts and life lessons by living through them and experiencing them firsthand. And I have no doubt that, like, she'll have an amazing life and a full, rich life, you know, because of it.
Definitely. So,
yeah.
Yeah, the things that we go through, they mold us, they make us. That's how I feel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm so happy to connect with you. And I've been following you on Instagram, and I don't even know how, like a lot of us, how you get connected. However, when I was going through some photos last night, I'm like, Kanya Sessler.
Oh,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe, because I talked to her in season one, and I'm like, maybe, you know, that's kind of how we got connected, but I've been keeping an eye on you, and you, I just love your outlook and your strength. And I wanted to bring you on and see if you would share your story and how you are able to live such a positive life with all that you've been through. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I was thinking about you yesterday. It was Father's Day. And you were on my heart all day long. So do you want to share a little bit about your story and then kind of go into like how you handled days like Father's Day?
Yeah. So when I was 9 months old, I was child abused by my dad. It was a spinal cord injury. And at the time, so much happened back then, the day I got injured, and around that time after also, that I don't remember. So there's like so much about my life that I still am not quite sure of all the details because I was so young at the time. But yeah. I do know that I was home alone with him and my sister the day that it happened. My mom was doing like college schooling, and he was home with me and my sister. And it was a big, like, my mom didn't know exactly what happened. He wasn't fully honest. The truth, as they say, always comes out in time. And we ended up finding out that it wasn't an accident, it was intentional, child abuse. And I had a spinal cord injury. So I've grown up my whole life. I think I got my first chair when I was 2. So it's been like a lifelong with wheels. Like when I look back, I have no memories of like anything. This is crazy to think, but the day I got hurt is actually the day I took my first steps. So, it's so crazy to look back and think that, but I am the kind of person who thinks that everything in life, especially like the really big things, even if they're tragic, I feel like everything happens for a reason. I feel like everything leads us on the path that we're supposed to be on. Mm-hmm. And that sort of helped me. Like, I'm not going to say I don't have bad, hard days, because obviously we all do. We're human. You know? That keeps my head straight, and it allows me to say, hey, you know, I'm strong enough for this. This is like my journey. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do, living this life with wheels and overcoming these things that I would have never thought I could. Honestly, it's crazy. So what you said about Father's Day, generally every Father's Day, you would think that Father's Day would be so sensitive for me. But the truth is, of all days of the year, Father's Day is the one day that reminds me, hey, I didn't need a dad to grow up. I didn't need like to have love from a father figure. Sure, it's great. And it's like warms my heart to see all these other people talk about how great their dads are on Father's Day. But for me personally, that day is like a literal reminder for me. Hey, Courtney, like you didn't have to have a dad. You had love, your support. You had people there for you. There are days throughout like my life, throughout the year, just random sometimes where it'll hit me and I'll go, dang, you know, it would be nice to have a male figure because I don't have any brothers or anything. Like it'd be nice to have a male figure that's like protective of you and cares about you. So like random days in life throughout the year, sometimes I'll be like, dang, you know, it would be nice to have a dad. But yeah, it's ironic to me that Father's Day is the one day that it doesn't bother me. It's just, it's crazy how that works.
Yeah. You know, you just have the sense of awareness. And I'm sure that didn't come easy far as, you know, you thinking about what am I supposed to do with my experience, you know, and what does it mean? What does it mean to me? And what does it mean to other people? So just that awareness period that you have, I think it's such a gift at 30 years old.
Like you said, it didn't happen overnight. It's something that like happens in time and you start to like, you start to realize things. I don't know. Life is just so crazy. Like this is going to sound crazy too. That's probably my phrase here. This is going to sound crazy. But, I don't know, like everything that I've been through, like I know it's my life, but like when I look back, it's just so surreal. Like, and it's such a reminder. Like when I look at my baby photos, because we had pictures taken the day before I got hurt too, which is again, I look at those pictures though, and I see just, you know, that tiny little baby. And I see, oh my goodness, like she, as in me, was able to overcome that, a baby. And then it reminds me, we're all so much stronger than we realize. Like we can overcome and get through so much more than we think. It's a lot of the battle of the mind. A lot of the things in life, like the obstacles, a lot of it is just battle of the mind. And if you believe that strength is within you, then you can see that it is. It's crazy.
Yeah. And you know, I have ALS and a lot of people that I talk to on the podcast and listen have ALS as well, you know, a fatal disease, doesn't have a cure, continual journey of loss of abilities. And so I always think about and say that the one thing that that disease cannot take from you is your thoughts, your outlook, and your mind. So how you choose to approach the obstacles and handle the adversity is in your control. Exactly. Your situation might not be in your control. And the fact that you're living in a wheelchair isn't in your control, but what you do with that. And
the way you choose to look at it.
The way you look at it, yeah.
Definitely, definitely. I understand that.
Yeah. What's your tribe look like? Like, do you have a boyfriend now, or do you live with your mom? Or
I don't have a boyfriend right now. I'm taking a little break. Kind of. If something happens, if I meet somebody, that'd be cool. But like, I'm not exactly seeking it out at the moment.
Yeah.
Right now, I live with two other girls. I live in a house full of girls, which is cool because you know, girl power. So, my family is actually all in Michigan, and I haven't seen any of them. In August on the 14th, which is my birthday, I moved here on my birthday almost two years ago. It'll be 2 years since I've seen any of my family. So my tribe is technically, I guess, the people that I live with, the girls. We all live our own separate lives, but we're all very supportive of each other. And if we need something, we can come to each other. And then I have a really close friend who's also a neighbor of mine. And then I have friends throughout California, like Kanya, for example.
Yeah,
it's just, I'm kind of a lone wolf, but I'm so social at the same time. It's so weird. It's super weird. But yeah, I definitely have people if I needed somebody or someone to lean on. There's people around, so that's always nice.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely not alone. And I think you're independent, not necessarily a loner, but you're independent. And I feel like being able to be independent has really helped you grow and get to where you are today, would you say?
Definitely. I still have a lot more to go with independence. The one thing I don't have yet is a car or a driver's license. So that's what I'm going to use to get my hand control driver's license. But just living on my own, because before I moved here, I lived on my own for like 8 years in Michigan. So like I had my own place, and living on my own is just, It's the best feeling ever. Spreading your wings, getting out of the nest. Like my mom used to say, oh, my nest is empty now. I'm like, Mom, you're going to love it later, though. So it's, you know, it all goes back to those leaps. And a lot of times the best choices we ever make at first glance are terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, some of the scary, they look so scary and intimidating. But my mom had this magnet on the fridge growing up. It said leap fearlessly. And it's so true. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just something to remember. Like, and that applies to so many different aspects of life. It's not just like one thing. It's like whatever you're doing. Just remember, it might look scary, but it can be the best thing you ever do.
What's the biggest leap that you had to take, do you think?
The biggest leap I ever had to take or ever did take was moving here. Because I left everything that I knew to come here. And I wasn't, my roots, well, technically, because I grew up in Michigan, my roots are in Michigan, but I outgrew Michigan and this is my new home here. So being able to let go of everything and just like my apartment, all my belongings. Okay, this is goofy. When I moved here, I arrived with two suitcases and I shipped three boxes and that was all I brought here with me.
Oh my gosh.
I basically became a minimalist, which was really different. For me, because when I was in Michigan, I was a collector of like movies and like just random like books, like random things. I was a collector, and I had had so much that I had to let go of if I wanted to move here, because priorities, what's important, what do I want to bring with me here, what do I need. When you let go, a lot of times people don't even realize the things that they have sometimes can hold them back from what they want to do also. So letting go of all my things and just letting go of the life I had in Michigan and spreading my wings and coming out here, that was the boldest, best choice I've ever made, honestly.
That's awesome.
It's such a good feeling.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine the emotional weight that you've carried all of these years, knowing that your own father put you in the position that you're in now.
Yeah.
Was there a time that you, and maybe it was a process over time, but was there a moment in time where you realized that empowerment that you had to just continuously move forward in life?
Well, honestly, I think it has a lot to do with the way that I was raised and the way that I was brought up, because after I got injured, my family, on my mom's side, they were always there for me. My mom is my best friend. She's my everything. Like I always tell her she's my non-romantic soulmate. Like I couldn't do any of this without her. I've learned so much from her. I've learned strength through her. A lot of who we become is how we're brought up. I feel like not all the time, but I feel like it has a big influence. So the fact that I was raised with such love and care and support just allowed me to grow and to be the person that I am today. I was never like raised and told, hey, you know, you're lacking this because you can't stand up. Your life is going to lack so much. I was basically told, hey, you know, you have a wheelchair, but go do what you want, you know, like live how you want, like be who you're going to be. So childhood was me improvising. For example, I would be at my aunt's house and there was kids running around and it was a two-story house and kids were always going upstairs and playing and I wanted to keep up with them. And instead of looking at a staircase when I would crawl around out of my chair and go, oh, the stairs are there, I can't go up there, I would go, you know what, I'm going to crawl up these stairs. And of course the adults didn't like that, but
they're like, no.
I loved it. And it was so like, it was a find a way around it, find a way to live life and find your way to be able to do it your way. So same with elementary school, the playground, the teachers and the paraprofessionals on the playground, they would always get so nervous, but I would like, there were times that I would like hop out of my chair and crawl into the sandbox and climb up the monkey bars. Everybody was scared, but it was so fun.
You were up for the challenge for sure.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I feel like having wheels gives you an opportunity to be faced with these challenges and find ways to overcome. And to me, it's been exciting for me. It's been like, I love a challenge. Now, I'm not going to lie and say, well, I love a challenge every single day, every moment of everything. No, you know, who likes that? But like, no, these little challenges I get, it's cool. And it's cool to find a way, you know?
Oh, I know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I have recently started riding a recumbent bike, and I'm actually trying to set a goal for the summer, riding 400 miles to end ALS.
Wow.
There's a lot of things I can't do about it. Like, I can't get the bike in and out on my own. If I'm tired, it's really hard for me to get out from the bike because it's slow. Mm-hmm. I can't do the gear shift, so I had to have an adaption there so that I can do it. But to your point, I like the challenge. Like, I'm not giving up on finding a way to try to get that bike in and out on my own so that I can go ride on my own whenever I want, wherever I want.
That's such an empowering feeling.
It is. It is. It is. And I also like the independence and freedom of, oh, it's really nice out. I have energy. I want to go on the trail. I would love to be on the trail right now for 20 minutes. Or I like to do it at this pace on my own. It's a freedom, you know?
Yeah.
You often take for granted.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing like being able to have that free feeling. And it makes you feel so good about yourself. People offering to help me with almost everything, like opening doors, like carrying things. Sometimes I'll say yes, if it will just make things easier. But a lot of times I like to do things independently by myself. For example, I got a new daily chair, since I moved to California, and they wanted to put push bars on it so people can push me. And I was like, no, I don't want any of that because I want to keep my independence. I don't want. If I'm going up something really steep, it's nice to have help, but those moments are really rare because I try to avoid that kind of situation. But just generally every day, I don't like help.
Yeah. Yeah. You were mentioning, when you were little and figuring things out on your own. And I remember reading something where you were saying, as a child, a lot of people would come up to you and ask you what happened, why are you in a wheelchair, and you weren't sure what to say or really gave you anxiety about what to say.
Yeah.
And eventually you got to the point where you would just break the ice, as you said, and you would tell them first why you are in a chair. So what has being able to become so forthcoming about what happened and why you're in a wheelchair, what has that done for you mentally?
To be able to tell people straight up, there was a transition. You're exactly right. It used to scare the heck out of me when I was little. I would freeze up and not know how to answer it. And then I realized when I say it first and I break that ice, it makes me feel like, hey, you know, even more, I got this. This is me. I thought I had it figured out when I was younger. And then as I get older, I realized, no, actually, I was figuring it out. I never had it figured out. I was on the way to figuring it out. And there's still so many things today I'm still figuring out. You know, life is a process where every day is an opportunity to learn. I feel like for everybody, disability or not. So, it's just so wild. I look back at my past and it's just my jaw drops, figuratively speaking. I'm like, dang, been through a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't feel damaged. I'm not just saying physically, I don't feel mentally damaged. I feel like a survivor. I like emphasizing that. And I like other people to realize too, if you go through any kind of abuse, any kind of physical loss, any loss at all, you can overcome and you're a conqueror, not a victim. That's my big thing, is to remember overcoming. Because a lot of people look at you when I say I've been child abused, they'll feel bad, which I understand. I get that. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate sympathy. Sympathy is a beautiful thing, but there's a difference between pity and sympathy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If people can sympathize with you and understand, but not feel bad for you, realize, mm-hmm. hey, you know, they've got it. So
yeah. Interesting. I also read that you were in a conversation, I think, with a friend, and maybe they were feeling sorry for you about not having the ability to walk. And you were trying to tell them that you don't miss walking. and that you're okay, that you don't walk. And you went on to have this conversation, but then at the end of the conversation, they came back and said, well, I'm really sorry for,
yeah,
you know, like you told them that you're okay with it, but yet they came back and still was like feeling sorry for you.
Yeah.
And, like they don't understand. Can you explain that?
I used to try so hard. Like I've been writing with Push Living for years. And one of my goals through writing with Push Living was to say, okay, if I write this, if I get this message out, people are going to get it. And then I came to this conclusion that yes, it helps them like get an insight when I write about my life on wheels and my feelings and thoughts on not walking. But in order for someone to understand, they would have to go through it. So If they're not you, they're not fully going to understand it. And there's only so much you can do with explanation. Like, for example, that person I was talking to that particular time that you just brought up.
Yeah,
I was trying so hard to, you know, I thought, okay, if I explain this and they're like, they see me like firsthand, like right in front of them, like, hey, she is happy. She's got a smile on her face. She's telling me this. She's okay. I thought there's no way they won't get it, but they still, people just, I think it's human nature to assume like if you lose an ability, like how can you possibly be fully happy? But the thing is I've met people and I know people who some people are happier than others who, like, for example, I can't stand up and I know that I'm happier than some people who can. So it depends on who you are. And It's all about mindset and, you know, outlook. And some people that walk have a better outlook than people who don't and vice versa. It really just depends on the person.
Mm-hmm. So, what made you decide to start writing for Push Living? Okay. And Push Living is a magazine.
Yes.
For those that are in a wheelchair, is that right?
Yeah, it's like wheelchair lifestyles. You can go on Push Living. They have a store. You can get merchandise. They have stories from all over the world, all different kinds of people, all different backgrounds of people with wheelchairs, and they cover all different topics of life with wheels. And it's just so cool
that
I was offered to be a part of that. Because I love writing. When I was little, I liked writing in second grade, like writing workshop. It was so fun. And then I would journal as I grew up. And then I realized I'm living in a situation that people have a lot of questions about. And if I can write about this and help bring awareness and understanding to life with wheels. So Push Living gave me that opportunity and to put that on a stage in a way that I'd never done before. And my love for writing just continued to grow since then. It's such an honor to be in a situation, and I'm not just talking about wheelchairs when I say this, to be a person who's in a situation that other people generally wouldn't know how to handle that situation. I feel like it's such a gift to be one of those kind of people that can help others like learn and understand life better and see that life does go on, like no matter what the challenge is, but a challenge that a lot of people don't normally face. It's such an honor for me. Like I just feel so blessed. Like, if I didn't have the chair, I wouldn't know who I am or like what I'm supposed to do. I've thought about it before. This is goofy, but like if a fairy godmother came up to me and said, hey, Courtney, I can take away this wheelchair and like fix your ability to walk. Like, would you take it? And my answer is absolutely not. Cause I just, I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah. A sense of acceptance that it's hard to imagine, you know?
Yeah. For a lot of people, it sure is hard to imagine.
Yeah.
It is impossible to ever get somebody else who's not you to fully understand where you are in that acceptance. But as long as you've got that, that's all that matters, you know?
Right. Yes. In your bio on your Instagram, there is one about you and your journey.
Yeah,
which is the one that I'm kind of referring to. So to my listeners, I will put a link in the show notes to pushliving.com so you can read more about Courtney and others who are living with wheels and unique perspectives from them as well. So was there something that made you decide that you wanted to share your story on such a large platform?
Absolutely. It's the fact that I made it through and survived Okay, so when I first got injured, they were saying that I wasn't going to live. It was such a bad injury. It was so intense. I was having a hard time breathing. I had to be survival flight airlifted to University of Michigan Hospital. I'm in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And there was a chance, a big chance, that I wasn't going to make it. And the fact that I did, I feel like, you know, I survived this. I need to tell my story. If it can help people in any way, that makes it that much more meaningful, not just for me, but if it can help others. Like, there's just such a beauty in that. And it's such a gift. Like,
yeah,
in this day and age, social media, to be able to tell stories and to reach so many different people who aren't even around you, people you don't know, that's, there's no way I could say no.
Well, I know that you are having a positive impact on so many. What advice do you have for, first of all, someone who is a victim of child abuse?
Okay, so first of all, victims of child abuse, always remember that you are not a victim. You are a survivor. Mm. You are a survivor. And when I reflect on what my dad did to me, I remember I might not be able to walk, but at the end of the day, I lived and I won. And for the rest of my life, I am a child abuse survivor and he is a child abuser. So take that power that you have and remember who you are and what you are capable of making it through and let that flow through you and remember who you are always. It's powerful. It will take you far.
Mm, yeah. What would you say to someone who isn't a child abuse survivor, but has experienced great physical loss of some type? Maybe they were in a car accident or something major has happened that has changed their life in a physical way.
I would say, which is what I tell myself, and I've realized, legs are not the key to happiness. Physical ability is not the key to happiness. All you need is the head on your shoulders and the ability to think. That is what can make you a happy person. It doesn't matter if you can stand up. It doesn't matter if you're missing an arm, if you're missing a leg. None of that, at the end of the day, none of that is the key to happiness. The key to happiness is what's in your heart and what's in your mind.
Yeah. And Kanye Sesser is also an example of that, right?
Absolutely.
I think I entitled her interview, No Legs, No Limits.
Yes. You know,
she's a badass.
Yes, she is.
As are you. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
I love your spirit and your willingness to share your story and help encourage people, you know, no matter what they're going through. So it's amazing.
Well, thank you.
Are you working right now?
I am not working right now. I don't know how much to say about this. I've got some, I've got a project coming up that's pretty big for me, and there could be some really good things coming out of it. But currently I'm unemployed, and my next step is to get my driver's license. So yes, my project that's I'm going to be working on soon, in the works. It's so hard. It's so hard for me to not like write statuses about this and be like, hey. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's hard. But big moves in silence. And then once it happens, let people know. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to be following.
I got a little bit of that.
Maybe you can share and we can do like an Instagram live or something and
absolutely
and get everybody caught up when you can share what you're up to. So tell me about your love for the skate park and how that all came to be and what it looks like there.
So years ago, the idea of WCMX, like for those of you who don't know, WCMX is like wheelchair BMX, basically only, it's like doing tricks at the park. Instead of a skateboard, you're using your wheelchair. Okay. So, and the creator, Aaron Wheels, he's such a cool guy. I've met him a couple times. He's the creator of WCMX. He's brought so much to the wheelchair world. Cause a lot of people look at people with chairs and they're like, oh, that must slow you down. But it's like, no, a chair can speed you up. And then when you put the skate park into that, everything you can do at the park. So, and the idea of that was not even gonna lie, it was terrifying to me because as a wheelchair user falling over, it always felt to me, it always felt like the world was turning upside down, like randomly. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so scary. Like when I was little falling over, it was always, even as an adult, it's scary. It's such a scary feeling. But summer 2019, I was at the skate park with a friend of mine. And he's a skateboarder and he was skating and he wanted me to come hang out at the park. So I did. And then I looked at this little staircase and each step was like equivalent to the size of a curb. I can jump curbs. Like before I ever got into WCMX, I could jump curbs. And I thought, I looked at the little staircase for like probably 5 minutes, honestly. And I was like, wait, that's just like one curb after the next. And I was like, wait a second. If I can jump a curb that size and there's just one right after the other, I think I want to try and jump this. Oh. And I said, I told my friends there that day at the skate park, I said, can you guys like literally have my back for a minute here? Like somebody behind me, if I fall, because that was what my fear was, is still to this day falling backwards, especially. But I was like, yeah, can you guys like look out for me? I'm going to try this. And I had a daily normal manual wheelchair. It wasn't made for the skate park at all. And I did my first stair jump. I have that video on my Instagram right now. And I didn't fall. And the guy behind me after I jumped, he was like, you didn't even need my help. Like, oh my gosh. And so after I did that, like even having lived life with a wheelchair for like over 20 years, like doing that at the skate park was so eye-opening, and it made me realize like, oh my gosh, you know, first of all, fear is an illusion. And second of all, I think I like WCMX. I think I want to try this. Like, it was nuts to me. It's such a good feeling when you, the fear before you do a trick and when you land, I can't even put it in words. It's such a good feeling. It's beyond words.
So did I see that you're getting a new chair to help you with that?
Yeah, actually, I got a WCMX chair last year. I got it through the Kelly Brush Foundation. I got a grant for a skate chair, which was so cool because doing stuff at the park with a chair that's not meant for the skate park, it's not recommended. It's not safe. I probably shouldn't have done that. I don't know how I didn't fall. The maker of my chair, Finch Adaptive Fabrication, Tom Finch, he's a fabulous wheelchair maker. He does daily custom chairs, hiking chairs, any kind of chair you can think of. And he informed me that Kelly Brush was taking applications for grant. I took a chance and I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to try to get a skate chair. And I ended up getting it. And I have an event coming up on Wednesday, the 21st. I'm going to be going to Skate for a Cause through the Schechler Foundation in San Clemente. And it will be the first time that I'm doing anything in my new skate chair. So
that'll be fun.
So cool. I'm so excited. I'm nervous. The nervousness is real, but
What's up next for you? I know, well, you can't really say one big project, obviously, that you're working on.
Yeah.
But do you have any other goals that you
I would, of course, love to do more writing with Push Living and also elsewhere. Writing is just, it's such a hobby. It's such a passion. It's a kind of a lifestyle. Like if I don't write for so long, I start to crave it. So writing, now I'm in California. I want to get into acting. I would love to do and try that again because it's been since high school. But I've always been fascinated with like behind the scenes of movies, TV shows. Like I would love to get involved with stuff like that. I love motivational speaking. If I could ever do anything like that, like absolutely, I would love to do more. I've done Facebook speaking videos before, and then I've done a motivational speaking video through Push Living, Surviving Abuse with Courtney Cerebisi. I think that's what it's called. So I love doing stuff like that. And I also absolutely would love to do more podcasts in the future if that ever presents itself. This is so cool. And thank you so much for this, for having me.
Thanks for coming on. And I would imagine that there's so many platforms that you would be a blessing for, whether it's a podcast or videos or any kind of interview. any kind of contribution on all the things that we've been talking about in the past hour, you know, as far as overcoming adversity, life with a disability, if you want to call it that, you know, having this huge dose of adversity at a young age and what do you do with it? Being a child abuse survivor. I mean, there's so many experiences and insights that you can share with people your age, people that are older, younger, doesn't matter. That can be such a blessing. So I think if you're willing to do that, I think you have a lot of opportunities.
I'm definitely willing to do that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, you have a lot of opportunities to share your story and share your heart. And I really appreciate being able to share you with my audience. And like you had mentioned, everyone, you know, goes through hard times, and how you look at it and how you live with it is everything. So
yeah. I want to become as independent also as I possibly can. The only thing I have left is to just start driving. Other than that, like, I live on my own. I have for a long time now. So
yeah,
just progressing, learning more about myself and see what the future has in store.
Yeah. Courtney, you've been amazing and given us so much to think about. Before I let you go, I always ask at the end of every episode, what are you dying to tell us?
I am dying to tell people that no matter what happens in your life, remember that nobody can take away your happiness. If you have the will to live and to conquer and to make it through, nobody and nothing that happens will stop you. Remember the power that's within you to be who you want to be in life. And just remember that you're unstoppable, no matter what.
I love that. Thank you so, so much, Courtney. I am looking forward to continuing to follow you and hopefully stay connected.
Absolutely.
And see what's coming up for you. And if I ever make it to Bakersfield, I'll definitely track you down.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love that. All right. Thanks, hon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again, Courtney. And thank you all for being here and listening. I really appreciate each and every one of you. Hey, if you're listening in for the first time, thank you for being here. If you like this episode and you want to hear more, I release new episodes of inspiration on even Tuesdays, the second and the fourth Tuesday of each month. If you want to stay connected, follow, see who's coming up, I am pretty much everywhere on social media at I'm Dying to Tell You Podcast. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and TikTok, all at I'm Dying to Tell You Podcast. If you like this episode and you want to help tell other people about it, leaving a review on Apple Podcast is a perfect way to bring people in. Thank you if you consider doing that. Okay, until next time, know you are loved and not alone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to our mom. Make sure to visit her website at imdyingtotellyoupodcast.com, where you'll find photos and show notes about this episode. If you liked the show, please subscribe to the podcast and share it with a friend. Thank you.